It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's the All-Star break, the time of the year when we get ready for what is called the Midsummer Classic, Major League Baseball's All-Star game, which takes place tomorrow night at Citi Field in New York. Four Pittsburgh Pirates players will be representing the team in the All-Star game. It's the most since the Pirates had four players in the 1981 All-Star game. Here to talk about the history of the Midsummer Classic and all things Pirates is our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. His video blog is called Sportsnet. Bob Dvorak, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, good to be here.
It was 80 years ago this year that the first All-Star game was played in Chicago in 1933. What can you tell us about the history behind that first All-Star game?
It was a little bit of a gimmick, Paul. In 1933, the World's Fair was being held in Chicago. The good people of Chicago were looking for ways to attract people to the city with broad shoulders, and a sports editor from one of the Chicago papers hit upon the idea of getting the stars from American League teams and National League teams together for an exhibition that would be played. They would suspend the schedule, play the game in Chicago, and then continue on the pennant chases.
Who were some of the players that were involved in this game?
Well, I mean, you know, you're talking about some of the greats of all time, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig from the Yankees, and, you know, it just went on from there. Baseball players at the time, too. Baseball was the sport. They were the rock stars of the day. So it dominated the sports world to see all these stars gathered in one place.
Were there any Pirates in the game?
Sure, there were Pirates involved. There had to be members from every team represented.
And, of course, the All-Star game continued on from there to the point where they even had some years where there were two All-Star games in one year, including 1959, when one of the games was played in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Yeah, that idea was if they had two All-Star games that they would use the proceeds to benefit the Players Association. Some unique features about the 59 game played right here at Forbes Field, Paul. Throwing out the first pitch was a politician from California, Richard Nixon.
Throughout the first pitch in that game?
Yes. It was the second All-Star game played in Pittsburgh. First was 44, right? During the war years, it was a nod to the working population of Pittsburgh to have the All-Star game here.
Interesting.
I can tell you in the 1960 All-Star games, they played two, and eight Pirates were represented in those two All-Star games. Now, the distinction there was the starting pitcher in the game in Kansas City was Bob Friend, starting pitcher for the Pirates, and then the starting pitcher in the second game was Vernon Law, and both of them got wins, which was a sort of a portent of things to come for the Pirates because they went all the way to win the pennant for the first time in 33 years and their first World Series in 35 years.
Now, in those days, there was a tremendous amount of pride that the players in both leagues took in the outcome of that game.
Absolutely. They represented their not only their teams and their cities, they represented their league, and they played to win. It was a very competitive game. You didn't need incentives to play there. It was just an affront to people like Stan the Man Musial to lose to the American League, just as it was an affront to anybody like Mickey Mantle to lose to the National League. They played those games as if they were regular games. The starting pitchers would go deep into games. The starting lineup would continue to play through all nine innings. It was a different brand of baseball, but I think the key word, Paul, was pride in their performance and in winning the game. The competitiveness really showed.
How has the All-Star game changed over the years?
Money killed it. Money is just, you know, if you look in 2001, when the All-Star game was played in Miller Park, and it ended in a tie. And it just really galled some of the old-timers like Chuck Tanner said, you play to win the game. You can't stop an All-Star game because you're afraid you're going to run out of pitchers. And I think what's happened now, the managers of these teams say, well, we're cognizant of the fact that there's a lot of investment money invested in these starting pitchers and these players, and we don't want to risk them getting injured. And it's sort of money has trumped. They become too cautious, and it's taken away the character of the game, I believe.
So what has been done now to breathe new life into the All-Star game?
Well, you're right. The idea was after 2001 and the debacle with the tie, well, we'll make the All-Star game mean something, as if it didn't mean anything before. But the winning league would guaranteed home field advantage for their team in the World Series. So home field advantage in the World Series is at stake. It's also changed, if you look at the All-Star game in recent years, even the one going to PNC Park, now there's a red carpet parade and a red carpet entry for these players as if they're, royalty or rock stars. The home run derby held the night before the game probably gets more ratings and sort of like, another gimmick, if you will, to try to boost interest in the All-Star game. But to me, the All-Star game itself doesn't need any embellishment. It's the game itself.
And the All-Star game will take place tomorrow night in New York at Citi Field, the home of the Mets. Our guest is our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. His video blog is Sportsnet. Bob, the Pirates will be resuming the season later this week. They have been in the chase for first place in the National League's Central Division. And they reached a milestone earlier this year that the team actually did not acknowledge. They won the team won its 10,000th game, and that's in franchise history. And yet the Pirates did not recognize this achievement. Why not? What's going on here?
Well, the Pittsburgh franchise entered the National League in 1887. That's their year of record. That's where they started keeping records. Prior to that, they played 5 years as the Pittsburgh Alleghenies in the American Association. So if you took the wins in those 5 years and added them to the wins that the Pirates have rung up through the years, then you would get past 10,000. But the Pirates never did count their wins in the American Association as part of their major league totals, even though Major League Baseball, in its infinite wisdom, recognizes the American Association as a major league of the time.
So the Pirates don't recognize it. They don't acknowledge the 10,000th win, but others do, apparently.
No, the four teams that played in the American Association that joined the National League later, Cincinnati, the Brooklyn Dodgers, and the St. Louis Cardinals, they don't count those totals either. You could say it's a bookkeeping thing. It's what the bean counters would do. It's an interpretation. But the Pirates did check with their fellow competitors, and they didn't count them either, and really never did have any intention of trying to add to their win total by going back to the American Association.
So there will be a 10,000th win acknowledged sometime in the future.
We can only hope, yes, unless the rivers start to flow backwards. I was thinking probably 2015 you would get to that total. It's true that the Pittsburgh Alleghenies of the American Association became the National League team. The team management stayed the same. The roster was basically the same. The star pitcher, Pud Galvin, made the leap from the American Association to the National League, and some of his win totals are counted by Major League Baseball towards his Hall of Fame totals. So, I'll let the bean counters sort this out. But baseball traditionally, to me, and I think to you too, has always had sacred numbers. The numbers were sacred. You had this many wins. You batted this total. You hit this many home runs. And I think, baseball numbers have been eroded somewhat during this steroid age. And I tend to line up with the Pirates on this. I wouldn't count them either. 1887 is the stake in the ground. Let's go from there.
And who doesn't remember Pud Galvin?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he won, actually, He won the first game in franchise history at Recreation Park, and he won the second game in franchise history at Recreation Park. He was one of the premier pitchers of the day.
Great history. Great.
But the first game in franchise history in the National League, Paul, was rained out.
I did not know that.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's why you have me here.
Exactly. Bob Dvorak is sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Check out his video blog, Sportsnet. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here. Thank you, Paul.
And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. If you missed any portion of this program or would like to hear any of our past programs, go to our website at wesa.fm. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.